وآخر بعض أنه على ذلك اللهم العن الأسارة التي جاءت للحسين وشاعرت وظاهر تطالب على قتله اللهم العنه جميعا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجلين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرأ الى الله. اللهم كن لوليك المجدد الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وخالدا وناصرا ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الأوضاع وتمتعه فيها قريبا. Six of the seven of the sacred month of Ramadan is the demise, the wafat of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, father of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Among the great personalities who strived a lot, who gave away all what he possessed to serve this noble cause of Allah in upbringing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, his name, according to some of the reports that we have, and his kunya both are Abu Talib. Some say that it's Abdul Manaf he was known as, and his kunya was Abu Talib after he got his son whose name was Talib. He is the son of Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Holy Prophet. There are 10 brothers. He is one of them. And in age, he is 35 years older than the Holy Prophet. Rasulullah, when he is born, his father had already passed away. Mother, she looks after him. And after a while, when the mother also passes away, the custody of the Prophet was with the grandfather, Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam. And he, in his last moments, when he was departing from this dunya, he gives the charge and custody of the Holy Prophet to his son, to his most beloved son, Abu Talib. And Abu Talib alayhi salam, he raises the Holy Prophet. And the same thing is with his wife, with his father bint Asad. She also looks after the Prophet for as long as 40 years, like a gem, like a pearl, and looks after him, safeguards him, upbrings him. And again, the beauty of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, we see, which was again learned by his son Hazrat Amir, the same thing. Now, although he is the father and in age 35 years older than the Prophet, he protects Rasulullah as if he is someone older than him, although when that age difference is present over there. He gives away everything which he possesses. In Iman, he is among the Muwahideen, and when Rasulullah officially announces his prophecy, he is among the first and the foremost to accept his invitation. And among the Muwahideen, and again in worship. Regarding Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, they say that his iman, his faith, was like the people and the companions of the cave that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. He hid his iman from everyone else and he supported the Prophet. 3 years they were in exile from Mecca, 3 years in that Sheikh Abu Talib. And in the most severe conditions, and it was in those days that Hazrat Abu Talib, he passes away, and just a few days after that, Hazrat Khadija also passes away, and Sheikh Abu Talib, and that these were the two very tough occasions, situations where which befall upon the Holy Prophet, And for that reason, he named that year Amul Husn, that is the year of Husn, the year of mourning. That is, the two great personalities of Islam, they pass away in that year. We recite dua iftitah every day. It is a beautiful dua, words of Ma'sumin, taught by the 12th Imam, and each word of it, it has weight. It is a whole world of information hidden in it. In the second half of this dua, we come to this point when we talk about the concept of imamah. We send salutations upon all of the a'imma. We ask Allah, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. That is, O Allah, we ask you. In what do we ask? That we desire, that we wish to be in that dawlat. Dawlat means rule. Kareema is that benevolent rule. That is the rule of the imam. That rule when you will dignify Islam and Muslims, a rule which you will, in which you will defame the kufr, that is the hypocrites and the kuffar, and make it as such that you make us, count us, enlist us among those who invite to the right path, that is to your obedience. وَتَرْزُقُنَا بِهَا كَرَامَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. And by that you grant us the benevolence of this dunya and the hereafter. It's a very beautiful dua, just a few phrases in it. And we find that the concept of waiting has been mentioned in this dua. Riwayat, they say that أَوَّلُ أَعْمَالِ أُمَّتِي انْتِظَارُ الْفَرَجِ. That is, the best of the actions of my nation is waiting, waiting for the relief. Now what do we mean by waiting for the relief? Every one of us, regardless of the Shias, may that be the Sunnis, may that be the Christians, may that be the Jews, or may that be the Hindus, every one of them, every one of us, mankind in general, they are waiting for a Messiah. For someone to come and put everything right. But they are mistaken in who this Messiah is. When we look into the teachings of the Sunnis, they also are waiting for someone who is Mahdi. But they are mistaken in who this Mahdi is. They say he is someone who will be born later, that is, in the end of time. Whence we believe that he has already been born and he is in hiding, or he is in the period that we are living in, it is this Ghaybat al-Kubra, or the major occultation. And we believe that Mahdi, he is from the progeny of Ali and Zahra alayhim as-salam. Who has been born, who is in Ghaybat, who will return, whose return is also a promised return, and he will put things right. So we are waiting for him. When Ma'soom says that in Intizar al-Faraj, that waiting for the relief, what do we mean by this relief? We have to see in what category of this relief we fall upon, we fall into. Riwayat, they say that when Imam, he returns, this entire creation, this entire world will be filled with justice. Now what do we mean by filled with justice? That again is a detailed concept. To understand that in simple words, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man in his presence. He had his two sons sitting beside him, one on this side, one on that side. This man, he kissed his son and did not kiss the other. Rasulullah says that, why didn't you not kiss the other son? That is against justice. If you kiss this one, you must kiss that one as well. We believe that when the Imam returns, this entire creation will be filled with justice. That is, there will be so much of justice, everything will be perfect, and what Allah desires, that is what is going to be. So, relief is of few kinds. First of all, we believe that when the Imam returns, this entire creation will be perfect. Some riwayat, they say that when you want to get hold of something for your daily needs and requirements, if you just recite a salawat, you will get it. May that be your bread, may that be your rizq, whatever it is. So that there's going to be this rizq and blessings, surplus and in abundance. So there are a group of people who are waiting for Imam to come, so that we get an easygoing lifestyle, so that we don't need to run around so much. Whatever we want, by just reciting salawats, we will get them. So there is that first group of people who are waiting for that Imam, for that easy livelihood. There is a second group of people who are waiting for the Imam, so that these tough situations that they are facing, for example, people in Palestine, for example, people in Bahrain, which you see today, all throughout the Arab world, throughout the Muslim world, wherever all these uprisings that we see, all these mass massacres that we see, so all these are tough circumstances. It's tough to live in a place where you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen the next hour, whether or not we are going to be alive or we will be killed. So that's tough. So there are a group of people who are waiting for the Imam to come, to put things right, so that they live easily. So that is again another relief. A second group. There is a third group of people who are waiting for the Imam to come, so that he comes and carries out the task, so that they are eased and relieved. Like Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, propagation, running around town to town, and informing and teaching, educating people. For example, what I'm doing now. So it's a tough task. You have to travel, and you have to go to different places, and then give the message. Some people are waiting so that Imam comes, takes over that duty, he does it himself, and we sit at home easily. So, that's the third group of people. So in reality, if you analyze all three of them, they are waiting for their own relief, not the relief of the Imam. So, we have to be careful. Why are we waiting for the Imam? We want him to come and provide our food. We want him to come and put things right. We want him to come and do the duty so that we are relaxed. In all three cases, we are weak. We have to correct ourselves. What should we do? In this dua, iftitah teaches us that inna narrabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. So that we become part and parcel of that entity of that Imam. That is, whatsoever Imam desires, I desire. Whatsoever Imam wants, I should want. If he works in that way, in that caliber, I should also work in that way, in that caliber. Or if you look into the history of Amir al-Mu'mineen, there he says that, I want people who could help me. Not that they increase my burden. So we have to try and do some things so that we remove some of the burden which Imam is carrying. So that we become his supporters, we become his helpers. And for that, it's again the same teaching that has been mentioned from day one, that we have to move within those parameters of haram and halal, stick to that pattern, and we will be accepted by him. And in this field of servitude and becoming servants and supporters of the Imam, it isn't as such that we have to fill applications, send it to him and he accepts. No applications are required. He says that you be good, I will come and pick you. That is the criteria that he has.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
So we are waiting for the Imam. So is it guaranteed that we are waiting for him? We will be successful. Iman, like every other blessing that Allah has given to us, it is one of those blessings that can be taken away. I've been given this blessing of life and speaking now. I don't know what the next moment is going to be. Maybe a stroke and that's gone, speech is gone. Maybe death intervenes, life is gone. A person may be possessing everything, the next moment becomes bankrupt, everything is gone. So none of these blessings are guaranteed. The same thing is with the blessing of Iman. That is also not guaranteed. But we have to work hard, ask Allah, that iman is not taken away from us. So we are all waiting for the imam. We pray that he returns. We pray that we become his supporters. We pray that we seek shahadat in his service. Looking back into history, for example, during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, riwayat, they say that Prophet, there were people, that is Bani Israel, as we are waiting for the imam and as we pray, Bani Israel also prayed for Prophet Musa. And as a result of those du'as of Bani Israel, Prophet Musa's birth was hastened by 70 years. That is, the ulama of Bani Israel, they prayed so much because Bani Israel were under so much of torture of Firaun. That is, thousands of people being killed. Every boy that was born was killed. So that was all oppression, what we find even today in a different format. So people were being killed even then. So people there, that is Bani Israel, they prayed. Du'as were accepted. Prophet Musa's birth was hastened by 70 years. Now this nation who cried, who wept, who shed tears for Musa's return, how did they behave? How did they react? Quran says, now this nation was longing for his return. Prophet Musa comes, is born, and is raised in the palace of Firaun, starts his mission, his people are with him. They come to Palestine, and there Prophet Musa is invited by Allah for 30 days to Kuhitun, Mount Tur. And there that invitation is extended from 30 to 40 days. And when Prophet Musa comes back, he sees that his nation is bowing before a calf, a cow. What happens is that they come and say to Harun, to Samiri. Samiri is one of those ulama of Bani Israel. They come and say to him that we want ija lana ilahan kama lahum alihan. That is, make us, we want to have a God like the people of this nation. They have a God, they can see their God. We want to have a God by whom we can see. Samiri was a knowledgeable person, and he makes a golden cow, a calf, and then this calf talks. And people in Bani Israel, they bow down before this calf. Now who are these people longing, waiting for Musa? And when Prophet Musa comes after 40 days, he finds that his nation has bowed down before this calf. He says, he throws those tablets away and is enraged. So that is the end of a nation who was waiting for Prophet Musa. The same thing with Prophet Isa, the same thing with the Holy Prophet, for example, when Rasulullah, he starts his mission, migrates from Mecca to Medina, establishes in Medina, and there when he wants to come to Medina, people in Medina are all elderly people who knew the Holy Prophet. Quran says regarding these people that يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew Rasulullah as they knew their own children. That is, what they like, what they don't like, what they like to wear, eat, who the friends would be like, and everything was known to them about the Holy Prophet. Now when Rasulullah comes, starts his invitation, invites these people, and they find that their interests are not being met, immediately they decline the invitation. We don't want you. Or for example, Zubayr, one of the very close companions of Rasulullah, one of those personalities who has performed miraculous tasks during his very young age, 16 years old, and he spies on the enemies. No one else had that courage to spy on the enemies at that very young age. And then one day Rasulullah tells him, do you like Ali? He says, he's my buddy, I love him. I won't separate from him for a moment. Rasulullah says that a day will come that you will stand against Ali. And it so happens that in the battle of Zubayr, if you look into his beautiful past, when Amirul Mu'mineen is attacked, when his house is attacked, when he is taken in the streets of Medina with that rope in his neck, dragged into the streets, the first one to stand in support of Amirul Mu'mineen is Zubayr. He takes his sword out and says that, O Bani Hashim, Ayyub al-Hadha bi'ali wa antum ahiya. that should Ali be treated in this way and you are all alive? He takes his sword out to attack. Someone hits him with a stone, he is knocked down. With a beautiful past. In the Battle of Jamal, we find that Zubayr, he has become a rich person now. It's 30 years after Rasulullah. All those riches, wealth, and they list Zubayr as one of the 10 richest persons in the Arabian Peninsula. With his riches multiplying to billions at that time. And for 2 centuries, we find that his houses, which were 8 or 10, which spread across the Arabian Peninsula, there were museums for people to see. He stands against Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Battle of Jamal with that beautiful past. The same thing is with the Imam of Time. Riwayat, they say that there will be people, that is, God forbid, you and me, who wait, who cry, who call the Imam, and who want to serve him. They would write to the Imam that we don't need you. Go back to where you were. Ali Azad Imam. Now who are these people longing and waiting for the Imam? For that not to happen, we are told that we have to be very sincere, very true in the claim. And this Iman that we have with the Imam, it has to strengthen day by day. It has to be strong. One of the things we find that, do we ever feel, now all this to myself first, that is, do we ever feel that Imam is absent, is away from us? Do we ever feel there is something lacking in our lives? We don't. Everything is provided to us, our bread and butter is there. Masail, which we want, religious inquiries, we just drop an email and it's there. Everything has solved, so why do we need? So this need of the Imam, we don't feel it. We have to do something so that this feeling is enhanced in us and we feel the need of the Imam. When it comes to the need of the Imam, this dua, Abida, says, بِيُمِّهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ. That is, through the Imam, the sustenance of the entire creation is provided. So he is the service provider. He is, in a sense, the benefactor through whom everything is being provided to us. For that reason, we have to have a strong bond with the Imam. We have to pray a lot so that this Iman of ours is strengthened and we feel the pain of him not being with us. Now the reason why we are all ghafil, we are unaware, is of a sign of that weak Iman. That is, Iman is weak, faith is not strong, as a result of which we don't feel the pain of him being away. We have to educate that we need him. One of the things that we need to enhance in us in this month of Ramadan, which is the month of the Imam of Time, it's going to be easy. Riwayat, they say that Imam, he looks at you 100 times every day. 100 times. If he looks at you 100 times, the teaching is that if someone wishes you salam, it's wajib upon you to pay back that salam. If you don't do it, it's a sin that you have committed. If Imam looks at us 100 times a day, we should be doing something so that at least one of those kind looks of the Imam are paid back. And one of the best ways of doing that is by reciting 100 salawats every day with that ajil farajahum at the end. So that is one of the ways how we can pay back those kind looks of the Imam. As a result of which, that Iman of ours also will gradually start to strengthen. This heart that Allah has given to us, we can train it. It palpitates, if just that beat. Just a regular beat. You can change the ringtone of your heart if you want. That is, that heart, instead of beating, it says, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, at all times. It is possible. That is, the more you call him, even if you get busy, you find that heart automatically is saying, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. So that is one of the other ways. All this disunity that we have in this entire creation, that again, is the reason that Imam is away from us. If Imam is there, we won't find that disunity. different moons, different days, Eid is being observed or between the Shias and the Sunnis, etc., etc. All this disunity that we have, it is because Imam is away. When Imam comes back, he is going to put things right. But we have to serve, we have to strive, we have to do our best, to the best of our ability, so that we also become part and parcel of that entity, so that we try and ease the burden of the Imam a little bit, not that we become burdens, furthermore burdens for the Imam. In this dua again, that is dua iftitah, we say that Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyana. That is the other dua. That, oh Allah, we complain that the Prophet is away from us. So if the Prophet is away, it means that it's a disaster. Imam being away from us, that is again a disaster. Because Imam, when his presence is over there, everything will be fine, as in we just read in this dua iftitah, that all that Allah desires, that will be easily conveyed through the Imam when he is present. The other thing is that in du'as that we recite, for example, du'a al-mudbah, that again is the same thing, that hal ilayka yabna Ahmad sabibun fatulqa. That is, all these beautiful du'as that we have, and all that is to enhance our iman, our faith, with the Imam alayhi salam. That is, the more we come closer to the Imam through these du'as, that iman of an individual, it is strengthened. When we recite these phrases, that is, hal ilayka yabna Ahmad sabibun fatulqa. Yabna Ahmad means, O son of Ahmad. Is there a way that we could meet you? هَلْ يَتَّسِلُ يَوْمُنَا مِنْكَ بِغَبِهِ فَنَعْظَمْ. That is it possible for that tomorrow of ours, for the next day, tomorrow of ours, that we associate and meet you? مَتَا نَرِدُ مَنَاهِلَكَ الْرَبِيكَ فَنَعْظَمْ. So on and so forth until the end of the dua. One of the other ways we can enhance this iman of ours, strengthen it with the imam, is by the recitation of dua ahad. Dua ahad, it is this small dua, you've got two versions of it. You've got dua al-ahad, and there is another one which is ziyarat al-ahad. Dua al-ahad will take about 3 minutes of your time in the morning. Ziyarat al-ahad will take maybe 1 minute. And if you read it for a few days, you will find that you will memorize it quickly. Our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam says that someone who recites this dua al-ahad for 40 days, and if he dies, and Imam, if he returns, after his death, when he returns, he will be raised from his grave. He will be given that opportunity to serve the Imam. So that is again the beauty of that bond that we have in this dunya with him. And when he returns, we will be serving him. Amazing things have been reported regarding the Imam of time and how beautiful this whole concept of imamat is. Once in a while, if you get time, read the Ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira. When we just said that Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyana, that we complain that Allah, Rasulullah is absent. Imams are absent from us, they are away from us. The concept of imamat has to be understood. It is through the imam that we learn everything. If we believe in the oneness of God, that oneness of God has been taught to us in simple words by the imam. Without them, it is not possible for us. Says that whatever Allah has created, it has been created for the love of the Holy Prophet. Or when we recite this hadith, Kisa says that إِنِّي مَا خَلَقْتُ سَمَاءً مَبْنِيًّا وَلَا أَرْبًا مَبْحِيًّا. That is, Allah says, I created everything, this beautiful sky, that sun, those seas, those oceans, إِلَّا لِمَحَبَّتِكُمْ. That is, for the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When he has invested so much for them, it is upon us that we also tune ourselves with them. That the more we tune ourselves with them, the better we will benefit, the better we will learn. And the best and the strongest bond and relationship, it has to be with the Imam of time, Imam al-Asif, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And that is why we recite this every day, that Allah make it as such, that you give us that opportunity, that we are blessed in this Dawlat al-Karima, which is this rule of the Imam, that when he comes, we are also part of that entity. May Allah ta'ala help us in these sacred nights, in understanding these great sayings of Ma'sumin alayhi salam. Count us, enlist us among the best who ever existed. Our children to be counted and enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Muslims worldwide, wherever they are, especially Mu'mineen, may Allah protect them. Mu'mineen of Bahrain, may Allah safeguard them. All those who have given away their lives in the way of Allah, may Allah elevate their ranks further. Count us and enlist us among those who support the noble cause of Ma'sumin alayhi salam. For all those who have requested for du'as, for all those who are ill and ailing, for all those who have passed away, alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Before the Zarat, one clarification and one announcement. I'm sorry about this. I already mentioned this, but I forgot that when you received an email from Al-Walai Group 360, you got to accept this hyperlink, you have to accept the invitation, and then you get the emails. Nisar Bhai is left for, I think, for the night. There is a, for those of you who know Embola Muslim Burial Organization of Los Angeles, they're having this coming Saturday a training session for all the volunteers, brothers and sisters who would like to learn how to perform the ghusl. And enshrouding of the body. Some people have requested that. It is this Saturday in Masjid in Husainiyah in Pico Rivera at 1 o'clock, right after Namaz Zohar. It's a 2 to 3 hour session. Those brothers and sisters, it's a big sabab to be giving to washing somebody, a woman or mu'mina who's passed away. Will be Mulana who's here at Jafariyah for Ramadan will be performing the training. For brothers and sisters, they would like to attend San Joseania, Pico Rivera, on Saturday at 1 p.m. Motor Jizara.